podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
We're saying the names Mitchell Trubisky and Aaron Rodgers in the same sentence. Lost it to the back of the end zone. No struggles today. Not only a big day for Trubisky, but how about Cohen?
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
Dude, you're the man.
And you know this, man.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Yeah!
That boy's good.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Winston had the ball tipped as he threw it. It's going to be intercepted. Intercepted by Andy Jackson. They're down a goal. They try the same play again. And this time a touchdown to Taylor Gabriel. The sixth touchdown pass.
Obsession.
My oh my.
Being obsessed.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
Well, another Bears victory, another awesome new open from our guy Ernie Skatton, who's just killing it with those. How about this game today, Adam Johns? You say Fitzmagic, I say Mitch Magic.
You're coining a phrase here. I like it. I kind of wish I had my three touchdown prediction
right?
going. I could have doubled that. Down on that today.
You were killing him with those. You just had to back off of it. Yeah. I mean, if you really... And look, we can re-roll the tape, and maybe we should on this episode later this week, our live episode, where I was basically openly mocking you
for those predictions.
Even with like a whiny, like childish, mocking voice, and Mitch comes out and
it's a nice critique of yourself.
Oh yeah,
friend.
No, I'll take it. Look,
he's not going to throw
exactly. No, six. Look, I'll take. I mean, look, I said it after the. I believe we were sitting in the same room here at Soldier Field after the Seattle game, and I said, "Look, we're not gonna make any grand conclusions on this guy, but we are gonna break it down game by game." And I'll stand by it. The first three games, he wasn't very good. Today, he was unbelievable. Those deep balls that he's been missing, that we keep saying, man, what would this offense look like if he just hit one of those or two of those? Today, he hit pretty much all of them. I counted it up. He had eight passes over 20 yards, and only one of those was like a short pass where Tariq Cohen ran. Most of those plays were all through the air, and six of them went for over 30 yards.
Impressive. Impressive from the get-go. People are going to say, oh, Trey Burton's guy fell down. He was wide open. He's going to hit that throw. That was right on the money. Trey Burton was stumbling, too. Right. If that pass doesn't hit him where it hit him, that's an incompletion. Everybody's going nuts, and maybe this game does not come to fruition. I don't want to say everybody saw this coming. I feel like the locker room may have saw this coming. The Buccaneers may be a bad team, but you play who you play. And people need to keep this in perspective that there's going to be ebbs and flows to the season. There's going to be good games like this, great games like this, maybe some more bad games coming. But he is capable of doing some great, brilliant, spectacular things. I think some people were completely writing off his talent, completely writing him off as a quarterback. I never got that mentality. Did we see this coming? No, but we saw what he's capable of when things are clicking for him offensively. He was in complete rhythm today, Adam.
He was, and the throws were great. By the way, episode 179 of the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, at Joey Jones. Joe Rowe, he's handling your voicemails this week, as always, 312-222-5050. Those are flying in after the game, during the game. I think a lot of fans happy with Mitch Trubisky. I think the tone of those voicemails probably be much different
this
week. And
if they're not, they got some problems.
And our guy Ernie Skatton put together a nice open for us. By the way, you can read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Johnsy's postgame thoughts up at ChicagoSunTimes.com. We are brought to you by Jerry Haggerty, Chevrolet, and Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen. And if you do, please tell them that Adam Hogan, Adam Johns, sent you there. All right. By the way, let's call it a celebration party if you want for all our podcast listeners Wednesday night at Cortland's Garage.
Come and hang out.
We're going to have fun. Bears are 3-1 going to the bye. We've specifically picked the bye for this to kind of regroup wherever they were. And we should have a lot of fun. We're going from 7 to 8 at Cortland's Garage on Wednesday night. Our next live podcast should be a lot of fun there. With what you just said about how you thought a lot of the Bears teammates, front office, coaching staff, whatever, thought this was going to come from Mitch. I think that was definitely the case. You know, I'm not going to say who it was, but about 90 seconds before kickoff at Lambeau Field week one, I ran into someone in the front office in the press box, and that person gave me a little fist bump. I was like, "Are you ready?" And he's like, "Watch, this is going to be fun." And sure enough, they came out. And remember how much fun everyone was having that first half at Lambeau and how everything was clicking? Then everyone kind of adjusted. Things went a little bit south. Mitch was clearly having his issues the last few weeks. But you could kind of sense, and we said it this week, you especially, but it just hit some of these throws. What is this all going to look like? And there just wasn't any, for me, there wasn't any reason to predict it was going to happen until it did. But it did. And this offense certainly looks a lot different.
He had the type of performance that eases concerns for everybody. Completely should erase concerns for some people. The type of performance that Patrick Mahomes has had, the type of performance that Deshaun Watson has had, the we're special is on display. Look, can people predict six touchdown pass performances? Absolutely not. These things are rare, although there is a frequency, a growing frequency of them nowadays in the past happy NFL, I feel like. But no one can see this coming. Can they see success coming? Absolutely. You just had a perfect storm of things going for you. You had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who were coming off a Monday night game. They were battered. They were giving Fitzmagic a last try. And look, Mitchell Trubisky was fantastic from the start. And he put it on Fitzpatrick to rally them. Obviously, it was not going to work against Khalil Mack and company. And it was an exceptional performance. To be honest, even like his incomplete passes. You know, two of them were throwaways where there was a muff screen and there was another blown. God, I think he was under pressure, threw it to the end zone. He's making the right calls. He's developing here, and you got to see some of the special talents finally on display.
And he actually did have two misses in the first half.
The overthrow of Javon Wims.
Yep, Wims. And that I would count as one of the layups that Markelle Fritch mentioned this week. And then there was a deeper throw to Taylor Gabriel. But he was able to overcome that, you know, not let that affect him. And I'll tell you what, the touchdown throw to Allen Robinson was, I'm going to say, the first moment this year where I was, I mean, he's had a couple nice throws. The throw to Burton last week down the sideline was good. But the way he, and he talked about this after the game, we'll play you Mitch here in a second. The way he read the defense, saw it was man, and Allen was his first read. He wasn't open right away, but he identified the defense and knew he would be open. And we always talk about this, especially at the NFL level, throwing guys open. He threw Allen Robinson open.
A dime.
And he threw a perfect pass.
Absolute dime.
Perfect spot in the end zone where only Allen Robinson could catch it. That was not only, oh, that's a great throw, but that was the game is slowing down for Mitch Trubisky.
Who said he's not accurate? Who said he can't throw to his left? A lot of his best passes were to his left today.
Good point.
What an odd criticism that was, I have to say. Look, Tariq Cohen, I just transcribed this quote. He said that some of his best plays came after the play came into the huddle, and just in terms of the audibles, the checks of the line, and going through his progressions. I thought that was notable, where your young running back takes notice of Mitchell Trubisky getting through his reads and making the correct calls at the line of scrimmage. Look, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is porous. They're awful. I get that. But for a quarterback in his fourth start in this offense to see things, to recognize certain things, to feel out zone coverage, there was a lot of that today. I think Mitchell Trubisky took a lot of steps forward in the right direction.
No question. And look, I was on the WGN postgame show last week, and Ed Obradovich was saying, you can't teach accuracy. You can't teach it. And I get where he was coming from, but the one thing, my response to him when he said that was, the thing about Mitch, though, if you go back and watch him in North Carolina, he was accurate. He was known as an accurate quarterback, but things were simplified for him there. A lot of half-field reads. But it was a similar offense. To me, though, what I said was, if this does slow down for him, if it does click, if there is that moment, I still believe all the things I believed about him, which was he was my number one quarterback coming out last year. There was always that possibility that maybe it won't click. And some quarterbacks, it just never happens. We discussed this last week. But I wasn't buying the idea that he just was never going to be accurate, because he was accurate in college. And The guys were open. He was missing open throws. They were there to make the last few weeks. It just seemed like a quarterback that just wasn't quite comfortable, and that clock was ticking, and he just... Look, he had the pass protection today was great. Everything seemed to slow down. I can't wait to go back and watch the tape, because... Just watching live, it seemed like most of his mechanics were...
That's what I was going to say.
His footwork, like, especially.
Right. You can't teach... Actually, look, I don't even know if that's a fair assessment. I think it's just an easy thing, an argument to make when you see passes go long over receivers' heads. And look, watch a lot of football around the league. That happens more often than you think. It's not Mitchell Trubisky. He's not the only quarterback missing passes that he should make in the NFL.
I think it is fair for some quarterbacks, like DeShone Kizer. I don't know that you're ever going to make him an accurate
quarterback. No, I get what you're saying. But
Mitch's case, if you actually look at his college tape, he was accurate.
Yeah, but
last year, he was pretty accurate.
Right. But certain things affect the accuracy. Well, it's pressure. It's the feel of that pressure. It's your footwork. It's your mechanics. It's having a rhythm with receiver and a timing of the play. So a lot of things play into the accuracy here. Look, there's been a lot of criticisms of Mitchell Trubisky, and I think a lot of them have been unfair. I think a lot of people have made pronouncements, proclamations about his career just 4 games into a new head coach. I think everybody was too quick to compare him to Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. I know those comparisons will continue, but I think this type of performance, look, you could see he was even kind of trying to downplay it, I felt, like after the game. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, because there's still 12 games left. They may be 3-1. There may be a lot of momentum going into the bye week, and they certainly feel good about themselves. But they know there's going to be more ebbs and flows. They know there's going to be more struggles for Mitchell Trubisky. I think he knows that himself. But this type of performance could be a springboard. I think they should embrace that type of thinking, because I think it cements at least your evaluation of him, Ryan Pace's evaluation. When things come together, you can have a 6-touchdown performance regardless of who you're playing against.
Yeah, and I was getting a little bit on Twitter today, and probably deserved a little bit. Just, I don't want to ever hear a Rex Grossman comparison again. I'll say exactly what I said, though. Check the tape. I'm not comparing him to Rex Grossman. I said he looked like Rex Grossman in those first 3 games, which I still don't think is inaccurate. But the arc or the...
I'm not going to give you a whole hot take right here.
Oh, no? No? Okay. Well, I'm just... It wasn't...
I've never seen it, and I never will see it. I get that some things felt the same. I get some errant throws that carry on Mitchell Trubisky felt the same, but I don't see players that are alike whatsoever.
Well... And hopefully there's... By the way, it's not going to be 6 touchdowns and almost a perfect passer rating every single day,
no,
too.
No, it's
so,
not.
You got some tough teams coming up here in the Dolphins and...
Patriots.
The next quarter of the schedule, and Matt Nagy was quick to point out, too, that it's only been 4 games, everybody. But the next quarter of the schedule, they play the AFC East 4 games in a row. It's a very interesting schedule quirk. It's not the strongest division in the world. The Patriots are good. They blew out the Dolphins today.
But the three and oh Dolphins, the undefeated Dolphins.
They have some flaws too. The Patriots.
Yes, they do.
It'll be an interesting.
Well, we're not sitting here picking the Bears over the Patriots.
No,
just yet. We're just saying that the schedule. Again, people always overreact when the schedule comes out. You got to let this thing play out a bit.
The Dolphins still have a game to play next week in Cincinnati, but I would. At this point, I think the Bears are actually going to be favored going into Miami.
Well, I think it starts defensively. They're outstanding again today. I mean, the strip sacks that Khalil Mack is producing, it's uncanny.
He just, as I keep saying, he hunts the football.
Yes.
The one where he created the interception for Trevathan, it was a play action, and you could just see him from the press box identify that it was a fake. And as soon as he saw it, he hit an extra gear. And it felt like Jameis Winston was throwing in slow motion. And that guy has a pretty quick release.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like he was throwing in slow motion because he could not get rid of the ball fast enough for Mack to close the gap that he did and somehow get a hand on it. That was incredible.
So you're still seeing the Bears defense that the Chicagoans, you know, have come to love. But I want to say this before we get to Mitch Trubisky is, you know where this game felt different to me in terms of some blowouts we've seen? Like, what was it? In 2012, we saw the Bears take it to the Jaguars. We saw them take it to the Titans.
Yeah.
Those were defensive scores. I have never seen a quarterback do this. With all due respect to Jay Cutler, He never did anything like this. I don't care who he was playing. And they played some pretty bad teams, beat some pretty bad teams in Jay Cutler's tenure. And I've been in Jay Cutler's corner before. You have too.
Sure.
This was exceptional. This was different. It felt different.
And it didn't come with the interceptions.
No. No. There was not even a close one.
You're right.
Not even a close one.
Now, to be fair, you did mention this earlier, that Buccaneers secondary is awful. I still think the front seven's really good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We have to give the offensive line some credit, by
offensive
the way.
Line played great.
The one sack they gave up, I think that's actually Mitchell Trubisky for spinning into it.
Yeah. They didn't handle the they actually had the numbers there. The offensive line did. I think it was 5-on-4. But you're right about Trubisky there. But the point I was going to make, so, okay, fine. The secondary is not very good. On the other side, this is a good offense. This Buccaneers offense is pretty good. And I thought that that was a big test for the defense just to kind of prove that, yep, still can play that well against a really good offense too. All right. I want to play, before we get to Mitch, I want to play something from Matt Nagy on Mitch. Thought this was a very interesting answer to a question asked by Pat Finley from the Sun Times, kind of putting in perspective Mitch's,
can you hear it?
Mitch's day. No, I didn't leave the question in there.
Oh, okay.
But
there's a good chance you can't hear it.
Yeah, if Pat's asking.
Yes.
Yeah.
He tends to whisper.
But look, 6 touchdowns. First time since Johnny Lujack, 1949. So Pat went to the well with the old historical reference. Matt Nagy put it all in perspective.
I think in a lot of ways, the numbers, to be able to do that, when you start getting, you know, when you start having great numbers at any position, you start doing things that are, your numbers are high in one category or another, it's always neat. Anybody can tell you it's not. It is. It's neat for the guys. But the biggest thing right now for us as a team and for Mitch is just understanding that, man, this thing's a grind now. It's not easy. And so there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. We talked about blemishes and scars and molding your character. And so whether that's individually for Mitch or whether that's offensively for our offense or as a team in general, this is a big day for him. And this might, hopefully this is a day where we look back down the road here and say, you remember that day where he had that great game and it helped catapult him into being a great quarterback.
So I thought it was interesting there, Adam, that Nagy brought up the idea that hopefully this is a game that they look back on and say that it propelled him to being a great quarterback. And you'll hear from Mitch in a little bit. He made reference to that too. That's certainly the ideal situation, but it just has felt like they were close the last few weeks. And if you just hit some of those throws, Kyle Long talked about in the locker room that it felt like a basketball player who was just on fire hitting every shot. And that's how it felt today. Every ball Mitch put up was like right on the money.
It felt like, again, it's nothing that we've like ever seen before, just in terms of the quarterback play. But just going back to some of the comments they were making in the locker room, like Allen Robinson saying, oh, we see this all the time. The touchdown pass, the perfect over-the-shoulder touchdown pass that he caught in the corner of the end zone, the corner route. Like, that was, I know we called it a dime before, but, like, we don't see that often. We haven't seen that often in these real games. But you know what? I get the criticism of the Bucs, but you play who you play. By the way,
and they were still perfect passes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look,
some of those there was actually good coverage.
Not every team, yeah, not every team's going to march out Pro Bowl cornerbacks. A lot of teams get injured. That's what you play. Who you
sure
play?
Hey,
look, he did not do this a couple weeks against the Seattle secondary that had question marks. Didn't do this against the Cardinals and Sam Bradford and that awful team. Things came together today.
Yeah, sure did. Let's hear from Mitch Trubisky. We're going to play the whole thing for you. We don't always play the whole thing, but look, this was his day. It was incredible. I think it's important to hear what he had to say. So it's about 10 minutes long. We still got some things on Keem Hicks, Sam Acho's injury, which we'll get to here in a little bit. So if you don't want to hear all Mitch, you can always fast forward. But here is the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, after a 6 touchdown performance.
Mitch, you guys talked about being on the verge of a breakout performance on offense. What was the difference that put you over the top today?
We just kept believing. I think it was the great week of practice we had, and I think for us, it all starts up front. I thought our O-line played fantastic today, playing together, giving me time, keeping me clean, and we just got open. You know, Coach Nagy called a great game, and it was just great execution all the way around. When all 11 guys are on the same page like that, you see things start to clicking, and that was the kind of the breakthrough that we were kind of hoping for and what we expect to do on offense. So it was just a lot of fun playing with those guys. It was a great team win all the way around, but it comes down to just having a great week of practice and having it transfer over to the game and just playing together.
Mitch, we talked to you so much about the accuracy, field recognition, and the poise. How did you feel like those kind of came together in a game like this for you?
I felt like they did. I felt like I had great feet and eyes today, and I was just calm back there, and the O-line did an awesome job giving me time. So it was just, it felt like just like practice this week, able to see the defense, ID it, and then go through my reads and put the ball exactly where I wanted it to these receivers. So, like I said, all the way around, great execution, all 11 guys on the same page, and we just transferred it over from practice this week. So we just got to keep working hard and keep evolving within this offense. But that's what we know we could be.
Have you been in the zone like that before? 5 TD passes in the first half?
It felt good out there. Everything that Coach Nagy was calling was working, and we just kept rolling. And like I said, it was the O-line. They gave me time. They were moving guys. We got the run game going, and I was just back there, and I was seeing it well, just staying calm in the pocket, and guys were getting open. And it was an awesome game plan, and we just did exactly what we did in practice this week. So it just carried over, and that's what we expect going forward, just to keep having these great weeks of practice and have it transferred over to the game. And when everyone's doing their job, then it allows you as a quarterback to just be focused, locked in, and do your job as well. So I would just say everybody was doing their job today, and we were having fun playing together the way the game should be played.
Mitch, how did you find out that the 6 touchdowns were something that hadn't happened here in 50-some-odd years?
When they announced it on the Jumbotron, that's when I heard. So it was pretty cool. But I couldn't have done it without my teammates. So I never set out to break any records or do anything like that. But it was just great team win, great team execution. Our defense continues to play lights out. It's awesome to take some pressure off them and put some points on the board. And all the way around, great team win. And the offense is still evolving, coming together. But all the credit to my teammates who just made it easy for me today.
You mentioned practice a couple times, and Chase in there said that the red zone drill on Friday was the best he's ever seen in his entire career. What was so good about it, and how much did you think that had to do with what happened today?
I think I was just feeling it in practice. I'm starting to get the rhythm of these plays and the timing, and just creating great chemistry with receivers. And when I have time, just like I do in practice, then the O-line just made it happen for me today, giving me time, and I was seeing it and putting the ball exactly where I wanted it to go. So that's what I know I'm capable of, and it's just great job by my teammates, just doing their job and everybody being on the same page.
What's going through your head when you look up at the scoreboard? There's your image, and you find out you made history. The last time that's happened was 69 years ago. What's going through your head?
It feels good. It's very humbling because you know the history of the Bears and how many great players have come through this organization. So for me, just trying to create your own legacy and try to make a path. But for me, I'm out there playing for my teammates and the amazing fans who show up every day. And it was awesome to have my family here as well. So it was just a special day all the way around. So I realize how special this organization is, and it's awesome to make history and be a part of it.
It was a touchdown pass to Bellamy. Can you take us through that play and how much the pump fake that thing to come open?
Yeah, so it's just a plays off plays. We have a run built into that play, and then we have a bubble screen, and that's a play as well. But it was a built-in pass, pump fake, and you just got to see the safety, and they'll bite on the bubble because they've seen it so many times on film. And it's just building plays off plays within this offense, and we practiced that all week, and everyone did a great job executing. And like I said before, it starts up front with the O-line, give me tons of time. Everyone did their job. The DBs bit on the double screen, on the bubble screen, and JB got open downfield, so you just got to locate the safety and make sure he doesn't fly over there, and then put it right there when he's wide open. So it's a great play call execution, and it's exactly what happened in practice, so it just carried over to the game.
Was there a point in practice this week where looking to play, looking at what you guys were doing, that you kind of thought that something could be special happening to the offense this week?
Well, I also thought the last couple of weeks as well. So you always have that mentality throughout the week of practice that, okay, I feel very prepared this week. I love the game plan. I love where we're at as an offense. And you just go out there and try to make it happen. And this week it did. And I would just say this week was a little different than most because we had our best week. We practiced hard. Everyone was focused, locked in. We really came to work with a purpose this week to go out there, break through on offense, and everyone just do their job and make plays. And when you do that, you're just just out there having fun with the guys, and I think that's what makes it special. But yeah, everything just carried over from practice, and you could kind of feel it. Everybody getting on the same page. I was throwing the ball exactly where I wanted in practice, and it carried over to the game today. And the like I said, the O-line did an amazing job, and it just kind of all came together. And we just got to keep it rolling going forward.
Mitch, on the touchdown to Allen Robinson, what made you stay with Allen when you also knew Jordan was uncovered?
Yeah, I ID'd man coverage, and Allen was my number one read on that. And you kind of expect someone to go with the back, but within my timing, I just anticipated the corner to Allen, and I saw him win on leverage, and nobody ran with Jordan. So I let it go pretty early on the corner route. But I just when you play with that confidence and conviction, you kind of know exactly where it's going to go. So Allen was wide open, but yeah, I also recognized as soon as I let go that Jordan's wide open in the flat. So I just continued to play within the timing of the offense, and if number one's not there, then Jordan's right there in the flat to hopefully walk in as well. But Allen ran a great route and made a great catch. So that's you just have a bunch of options and playmakers in this offense, and it all comes together when those guys up front are playing so well.
Have you ever been on the field for a two quarterback formation like that before?
I don't think so. That was the first one. But
do you feel confident throwing it to Chase?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's why it opened up so much, because they know about number four is just run ability and his break tackle and the spin moves, and they're just a running threat he brings to the offense. But that was a really fun play that we had in practice. Chase was a big part of coming up with it, and it opened right up just the way we drew it up.
What were the conversations with Matt like at the beginning of the week, talking about concepts that you like, that you're comfortable with? I know that's something we were talking about on Wednesday. How did that process go this week to lead to a performance like this?
Yeah, we just came up with the plan early in the week, and you kind of know what concepts are good against the defense and what they're showing us. And I've said before that I'm a rep guy, and those plays that we ran out there today, we ran them multiple times in practice against a bunch of different looks. So I was able to adjust. If they gave us a different look, this is what I was going to do. And they gave us the right looks for the plays today, and we just went out there and make it happen. So I was very comfortable with our game plan, studied it really hard, and just carried over from practice. The things we were doing in practice happened exactly like they did in the game, and it was just 11 guys playing together. But it's just constant communication between me and Coach Nagy, being on the same page, knowing what plays he really likes and what plays I'm comfortable with. And it's just going to continue to grow and evolve going forward, and we're going to have that constant communication of knowing where each other's at. But I was just when you just get into a rhythm and he's calling plays, you're just like, okay, this one's going to work too, and then you just go out there and play with confidence and have fun.
Mitch, could this be a game that you look back on someday and say, yeah, this is where I turned the corner?
I guess we'll see. I mean, that's just continue to live in the present. Don't dwell on the past, but also be proud of what you accomplished. But just continue to know I got a lot of work to continue to do in the future. But definitely proud of this day, especially my teammates' efforts and how we just played together and had fun and defended our home turf in Soldier Field. So we're really proud of that. But hopefully it'll be something I can look back on and be this is where it all started. But we just got to continue to work hard, stick together, and the sky's the limit for this team. So we got to be smart over bye week, take care of our bodies, and come hungry, ready to work next week, and keep it rolling. So it's awesome to play for this team, and I love these guys in the locker room.
Mitch, you averaged over 10 yards per play on first down and second down, kept yourself in really manageable situations. You didn't have a play behind the sticks until the fourth quarter. Matt talked about how much that gives him comfort as a play caller, but what about you as a player as far as not really getting behind the sticks?
Absolutely. You're just in a rhythm. Everything's going forward. We're playing smart football, no penalties. The special teams did awesome in the field position game today. Defense is always holding them, and that carries over in the field position game as well. But when you're rolling on offense, not getting to tough third down, known passing situations, then you're able to keep the defense off balance and just call whatever Coach Nagy wants. And that's when you're just rolling and everything seems to be working, and the defense is just on their heels, and we're just going at them and doing exactly what we did in practice. So it gives everyone a lot of confidence. You just stay in manageable situations, and it just stacks up. So you just try to stack completions and go down the field and score.
Thanks, Justin. So, Adam, you heard it there, too, from Mitch, the idea that this could kind of springboard him forward. I agree with what you said earlier, that he was sort of hesitant to put too much on it. But you got to imagine, as hard as he is on himself, and he's been very open and honest about that in the past, that he's got to feel at least a little bit of a sense of relief tonight as he goes home, looks at the tape, and sense of confidence that, yeah, I've known I could do this all along, yeah, but I actually did it.
It's not redemption. Vindication? Would that be the right
just
word?
Just validation.
Yeah, validation. Look, he's always been talented. People just need to be patient a bit more. I don't know why we continue to preach this. We've become the podcast of patience, the patience podcast, whatever you want to call it.
Well, look, we do have some conversations outside of when the microphones are off where we go, we try to stay objective as possible, but sometimes we do kind of say, it'd be really nice if Mitch went out and had a really nice game just so we don't have to deal with the emails. You know what I mean? It makes our lives.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got a bye week here in 2 weeks where, it's not like you threw six interceptions and everybody's panicking.
Could you imagine?
That would have been absolute hell.
Oh, gosh, that'd be horrendous. Look, I thought he was being overanalyzed to begin with. And now you got this game to digest. I mean, this is something. It's a lot. The vibe in that locker room, Adam, is, I don't think I felt it in my coverage. Like 2012 felt good. You know, they felt really good about themselves. Still some question marks on offense. This feels different because of what Matt Nagy has brought offensively. There seems to be balance to the force, being the Star Wars fans that we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
not
the defense with, some hit or misses. You're Star Trek guy, whatever.
No.
You're just a guy.
I'm just a guy.
Okay. There seems to be balance here. And I think I was saying this the other day, in terms of being a media guy, when you walk into that locker room, now there's more stars to talk to, more talented players to talk to. A few years ago when I started on this beat, it was just the defensive guys and maybe Jay Cutler at the podium. Brandon Marshall came, but it feels different. It significantly feels different to me.
Yeah, I will admit, just going around the locker room after the game is like, ooh, I got to get that guy, because there were so many guys that contributed.
Yes.
So it's definitely a different feeling. And I'll say this too. I wrote after the Packer game, even going in the Packer game, but especially after they blew it, it was a team that has to learn how to win. They have to figure out how to win. And sometimes you need to experience it to do that. They've now stacked together three wins in a row, first time in 5 years.
Do you know what type of game this would have been with the old coaching staff? It would have been a Blaine Gabbert long run in overtime.
Yeah, it would have been like, defense is doing their job. Let's not screw it up. Let's just keep running the ball.
Completely different philosophies. Again, completely different skill sets in terms of players on the offensive side of the ball. This is almost validation for Matt Nagy as well.
Oh, it definitely is.
The amount of praise he was getting just for what he was dialing up within the locker room, from Allen Robinson to Tariq Cohen to Taylor Gabriel. Look, Taylor Gabriel came from a high-powered offense in Atlanta. He knows a few things. He liked what Matt Nagy did today, just the vision and the structure, the concepts that he attacked the Buccaneers with.
Let's give Ryan Pace some credit, too, because we've seen the last couple of years some of these free agents he's brought in, they just haven't really produced. Taylor Gabriel's been great. I mean, I'm not – obviously, Khalil Mack is just a completely different monster, but Trey Burton – 2 touchdowns. I mean, these guys are...
Allen Robinson's
been everything he's supposed to be. These guys, it's paid off this year. I mean, these guys have been legitimate players.
One person who stood out to me, at least on the defensive side of the ball, I think Eddie Jackson is starting to come into his own.
Oh, yeah.
That's really has a feel for how for his responsibilities
Pace
back there.
Pace keeps coming up with these fourth, fifth
Bilal
rounders.
Bilal Nichols
looks like the next guy that's... I mean, a legitimate depth piece. I mean, he doesn't play a whole lot. He comes in and he gets huge splash plays. You typically try to find superstars in the first and second round. You build depth in the middle. Those picks are still very important. But, I mean, Pace, especially with Eddie Jackson, looks like he found a legitimate...
He's Pro Bowl talent there. If he was coming out healthy out of Alabama,
sure.
I think you're looking at a first or second round pick. But his vision, his speed, his range... Bears might have himself a good Pro Bowl player back there.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about Akiem Hicks, because if there was one negative today, was the ejection. I guess if there's a time to have Akiem Hicks, one of your best defensive players, ejected, it would be in a blowout, which just was a blowout at the time. So at least you didn't really miss him the rest of the game. But he bumps an official... shoves an official, whatever it was. I never even really got a good look. I know there's like one angle. It's like the all 22 zoomed out angle that shows it. It's not very conclusive. Obviously, he did something, though.
and he gets ejected. So now the big question mark is, does he get suspended?
Well, you would think so. He's looking at a $33,000 fine, right? Is that how the fine chart works? Something like this. I did not see the play.
Do you guys usually get suspended after this?
Yeah, usually. You bump an official, but I'm sure it's going to be reviewed. I'm sure he's going to appeal. I'm sure he's going to have a chance to state his case. But there is a blurry shot from the All-22 angle that the Fox broadcast used. I did not see it. I imagine the league's going to have better film. Who knows? I know he's an emotional player. I know it's an emotional game. But to be honest with you, yeah, you want him to keep cool, but you also want him to stay hot in games like this. But I didn't see the play. Is that in his character? Absolutely not. I don't even know what to tell you. I didn't see it.
My guess is there was like a little bit of a scrum. He probably just thought it was like a player pushing him back when it was really an official. So you just got to – you can't do it. It's against the rules. And now, you know – I wonder if the fact that he already missed a half will factor into whether or not he gets suspended. Because, you know, so with the college targeting rule, if it happens in the first half, you don't miss time in the next game. But if it happens in the second half, you have to sit out this first half of the next game. I'm not – obviously, he's either going to be suspended for one game, two games, or no games, probably. But it's tough. You don't want to lose. Akeem Hicks, you need him in Miami. You didn't need him in the second half here, but you need him in 2 weeks in Miami. So, and at first he didn't even know he was ejected.
That's what I mean. I'm guessing he didn't think it was an official. I'm sure. Look, there seemed to be a bunch of confusion. It took a long time for the referees to figure out exactly what they're going to do in that situation. I know.
Jerome Boger has like. He has more meetings than Mark Trestman. That guy's like every other play, he's having a meeting out there on the field.
It was long. I'm looking up the what do you call it? The pool report here. What did he say here?
I actually haven't seen that yet. I know that that there was a pool report with the
Here it is. Let me read something for Rich Campbell, the Chicago Tribune, was our pool reporter. I wanted to ask you about the ejection of Chicago defensive end Akeem Hicks. The telecast did not really get a good look of it. From your vantage point, what happened? This is Jerome Boger speaking. This is the way it was relayed to me. The down judge was breaking up a skirmish between two opposing players, and he got the players separated. Number 96 came back and charged through him and pushed him. Campbell. So it was an incidental thing. It was deliberate. So it wasn't an incidental thing. It was deliberate. That's the question. Boger. Deliberate. That's correct.
Okay.
So, again, everything's open to interpretation. I haven't seen it. Definitely out of his character. Would it be a big loss? Absolutely. Physically, it's a big loss. And he's an outstanding football player. He's a Pro Bowl player for the Bears right now.
He was dominating that right guard. And prayers out to every right guard that has to face.
Well, him after this, I think after this too, especially if he returns against the Patriots, it's a one game suspension. First game back against his old team in the Patriots.
Oh, he's going to be motivated for that one.
Oh, baby. But look, the damage is already done offensively. Khalil Mack was not letting up. Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith were noticeable again, Eddie Jackson. Just, I feel like every day there's someone else to mention defensively. This time it's Bilal Nichols. I know we're talking about Hicks, but Nichols filled in fine. You're seeing good, solid, strong performance from a lot of characters on that defense right now.
And Kevin Tolliver, give him credit. I mean, I have to go back and watch the tape.
He held his own.
But, I mean, Mike Evans, heck, I'll admit it, I got him on my fantasy team. He didn't do anything today. I mean, there was nothing there, so they're doing something right in the secondary. And I'll admit, as I broke this game down and ended up picking the Bucs, I probably spent too much time focusing on the fact that Prince Amukamara wasn't playing and not enough time paying attention to the fact. I mean, I knew they were thin in their secondary and they had rookies coming in, but then they were having rookies getting hurt and other rookies coming in out there for the Bucs. So that was way more of a bigger deal for the Bears than it was, for the Buccaneers than it was for the Bears coming into this game. A couple other notes before we get out of here. Sam Acho, pec injury, did not return. Arm was in a sling after the game. Usually those are not good things.
Not good. Ruled out immediately.
Nick Kwiatkowski did have one last year that he was able to return. I think he missed a couple games. I forget how many, two or three. But he did return from that. Darrelle Freeman, though, week one, tore his pec and did not come back. So typically not good. So that's a hit to the depth. There are a couple guys, though, Kylie Fitz and...
Yeah, with all due respect to Sam Acho, great locker room guy. He's valuable in terms of building that culture, good special teamer. But he's played one rep last week defensively.
Yeah, he's been affected by the Khalil Mack addition more than anything.
Yes. But that's not to say he's not valuable. I think he's a good special teamer. He's great for that locker room. Talk about a culture changer. Sam Acho fits that description in terms of everything that you want in that role, that responsibility. So it's a big loss, you know, in a sense, but he'll still be around to fill some of those off-the-field things that you want him to handle.
Did you see what Dirk Cutter said after the game?
Yeah.
So Dirk Cutter was asked if he would consider making a change at defensive coordinator. Cutter's response, based on that game today, we couldn't make enough changes. We should fire every person that was on that field today, starting with me. That was horrific.
I believe Mike Smith was actually not on the field, but in the press box with us. So, he's safe.
I mean, you ask if your defensive coordinator should be fired, and your response is, we couldn't make enough changes. Mike
everybody.
Smith can't be feeling good about his job security
now. Well, you know what? At the same time, his secondary is awful, and maybe his front seven, which is good, looks good on paper, maybe a bit overrated.
Yeah. Hey, look, we knew coming in this game that it was between two of the teams that surprised in the NFC. Felt like a validation game for whichever team came on top, and it was extremely in favor of the Chicago Bears today.
It's a good argument right there. Both teams had something to prove, and one did it in emphatic fashion.
They kind of both proved it in a way. One proved that they might be legit, and the other proved that they're not.
One other aspect of this game that I think will continue. Look, Mitchell Trubisky will have his ups and downs later. Do I think he'll have good numbers by the end of the year? Yeah, I said that on one of our first podcasts before the season began. But Tariq Cohen, career high in touches at 20, career high in yards from scrimmage at 174. All over the field, a weapon. Didn't matter who was covering him, cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers. Matt Nagy finally found a way to unleash him.
Yeah, how about that part of the Nagy validation there? People kept tweeting at me, Where's Jordan Howard? I'm like, are you watching the game?
But that's fantasy. It's such fantasy.
I know. Yeah. I know, but are you watching the game? Because he's out there.
Yeah.
He's coming in. He's playing. They're making Tariq Cohen the focus this week, and it's working. So give Nagy credit for that. All right, we need to get out of here, but there's plenty. You know, we'll take a couple days to look at the tape, kind of zoom out on the first quarter of the season. We're going to have a fun time Wednesday night. We can talk about what this means for the team going forward. How good can the Chicago Bears team be? You've seen the defense. Now you get a glimpse of what this offense could be. Is it all legitimate? I think that'll be a big focus of our conversation Wednesday
night. Come to Cortland's.
Cortland's Garage. In the city, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know there's... Let's see. We're on at 7. We're going to go an hour. Might have a special guest or two. We're still working on that. We'll go till around 8 o'clock. We'll hang out after that. If you're a trivia person, I'm not a huge trivia guy. I don't know if you are.
Not a Star Wars guy, not a Star Trek guy, or a trivia guy. What type of guy are you, Adam Hope?
I'm a beer-drinking football guy. #football guy.
You're just saying that because you said you had a whiny voice earlier in the podcast.
Yeah.
Beer drinking football guy.
I like that.
Aren't we all, though?
Accurate.
I might have a beer later,
so,
too.
I can't guarantee you any trivia victories on Wednesday night, but I can guarantee you I'll have a couple beers.
I'll be a beer drinking football guy Wednesday at Cortland.
That's who I'll be. And our guy Bob Dabrowski is going to be out there.
He's a beer drinking football guy.
He seems like one.
Cigar guy, too.
So if you want to come out and meet the famous Bob Dabrowski, we know he's going to be out there. He'll put this whole thing together. So it'll be a lot of fun Wednesday night at Cortland's Garage. We need to get out of here. A fun game for the Bears. Good feelings going into the bye. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. He's also a beer-drinking football guy.
And I think we just coined the phrase here.
I like it.
We should give awards for that. He's a beer-drinking football
guy.
It's
another T-shirt idea if we could ever pull one out. Right?
We might be onto something here.
Might be onto something. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate, review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. It's everywhere you need it to be. Like Visa, right? Isn't that the Visa thing?
I'm not sure. Okay,
that one we can't coin. I think I just ripped that off of a credit card company. All right, everyone.
Come to Cortland's.
Enjoy the victory. We'll talk to you Wednesday night. Come see us at Cortland's Garage.